Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
8 days have finally passed. Felt like we'd never get here, but it has arrived. Game one, Western Conference semifinals, Golden State Warriors, Utah Jazz. Tonight, 7:30 right here on 95.7 The Game. Boys, it is finally here. Kalena Azubuike will join us in studio from 7 to 8 o'clock to preview that and more. We've got plenty to get to with last night's Johnny Cueto over Clayton Kershaw performance down in Los Angeles, as well as a few other surprises woven in. Just a heads up that it is the Live Nation Summer Concert Kickoff on 95.7 The Game. Get $20 tickets to over 30 Bay Area shows now through May 9th at livenation.com/20ticket. Each hour, we're going to be giving away tickets to a different concert. In the 7 hour, the 8 hour, the 9 hour, so be paying attention. We'll give you the number to call and probably some designation of some number randomly, arbitrarily.
Nice.
And you will end up winning tickets. Dibs, does that sound like a fair enough plan?
You know what? It sounds like a perfect plan, and it's put me in the absolutely best possible frame of mind as we roll on here at 6:01.
Let's go ahead and blow Dibs up behind the scenes right before we went on. He just unloaded a right hook to the body of that backpack.
Oh, deadly body blow. Me and you looked at each other like, okay.
He's fuming.
He's having a moment.
A little frustrated.
It's okay.
I didn't charge my phone last night, fighting a little voice issue, and I thought I had my charger with me. Look at the backpack, no charger, and instead of, you know, making a real scene and screaming out expletives, I decided to just unfurl one quick punch. I didn't think that you both were locked in on what I was doing right there.
Now, that phone, it's possible. I don't know. What are you working with there?
I got about 36% right now.
No, but I mean, what type of phone? Because here may have a charger for you. We do have a room filled with individuals who work on this fine program.
I'm on my own. I'm an Android guy, and I'm pretty sure we're iPhones around the horn in here, so that's fine.
Don't look at him. It's not like he's going to be able to help you with the charger.
iPhone. I'm just iPhone. I can get a charger.
You got six iPhones. I bet you got zero chargers. You got any chargers?
Yeah, and I keep a charger. I make sure that I keep.
You got one in your bag right now?
Probably in my bag. But yours won't work for yours.
Yeah, see? Just making it worse. Like I said.
I got like four chargers, but sorry, Tim.
I'm an Android man in a world full of iPhones.
So you should probably
that.
Change that and fix that.
Maybe we should change the subject and fix that.
I was going to throw back one last point on this. When is it going to be hipster style to come back with the Motorola Razr? Do you think if you were rolling around with a Razr right now, people would think that's cool?
They'd probably think you were a square.
Probably think you're from the 1990s.
The Stone Age.
Right.
Lemoore. The 90s, Stonehenge, whatever.
I mean, what's this?
Sorry, here's Dibs with your update.
It is on tonight, gentlemen. It is on like Donkey Kong. Warriors second round series gets underway. The long wait is over. Utah is in town. Game one, tip time 7:30. Our coverage begins at 6 with Warriors warm-up. Draymond Green says round two, it's like Olivia Newton-John.
It gets more physical. Round one, you're kind of just coming off the regular season. Referees are still making that adjustment to the playoffs. Players are still making that adjustment to the playoffs. Round two, it gets a little more physical. Some things are let go a little bit more, you know, and you have to adjust to that.
Matt Barnes hoping to come back from injury. Sean Livingston does as well. But, Joe, round two, much more physical, according to Draymond Green.
Especially with a team like the Jazz. They're going to bang down there. That's a team that's going to come to play. The question is whether or not they're going to be able to keep it close. I know we want to see our team make quick work of Utah, but, damn, you look around the rest of the NBA, game one of all these series, blowouts. Let's get some competitive hoops, shall we, Dibs?
The Spurs had a
not this round. No, but,
the Spurs actually had a speedboat low. They lost by 27. Not only a motorboat. Cavs beat the Raptors as well. Yeah. Celtics and Wizards tonight, game two. Who do you like, Lo?
Yeah, I'm going to go with the Celtics. The Celtics are streaking right now. They're cooking this with Crisco, like I like to say. Absolutely motorboats last night.
They're streaking through the quad right now. That's five straight wins.
Yeah.
Story number two, it's the Giants able to go to L.A. and get a victory thanks in large part to Hunter Pence.
High drive. Left field. It is out of here. And the Giants lead 2-0.
Dwayne Kuiper, NBC Sports, Bay Area. Buster Posey also homered 4-3, the final. Story number three, A's back to work. It's a 9-game road trip starting in Minnesota. Sonny Gray makes his 2017 debut. The game can be heard on KFOX in its entirety. The coverage starts at 4:15 here on 95.7 The Game. And then at 6, we switch to Warriors coverage. The update brought to you by Barron's Jewelers for a huge selection of the designer wedding sets from the finest names and all the latest jewelry fashions. Visit us at Barron's in the Hacienda Crossings. Barron's, a legacy of elegance. I'm Dan Dibley. On your home for A's baseball and the Golden State Warriors, it's 95.7 The Game.
Nice job right there. I know it's not the greatest of starts for you today, but that was a really nice job.
Thank you.
You did a nice job there. All right, Joe Lo and Dibs, 95.7 The Game. Oh, by the way, we've got two tickets to give away to tonight's Game 1 Jazz Warriors Western Conference Semifinals. We're giving them away. Clint Azubuki's bringing them into the studio. He's got them. He's going to join us 7 to 8. At some point during the hour, we're going to give them away. So be sure to be tuned in. We'd love to hook you up with a chance to go see tonight's action. Do you think that the Warriors are paying attention to Game 1 in each of the other series that has taken place so far in this round? Because if they are, and they try to keep pace, tonight should be over rather quickly. The Spurs, on their home court, get beat by 27 at the hands of the Houston Rockets last night. The Cavaliers destroy Toronto by 11. That final score looks much closer than the game actually was. And then Washington got hammered by Boston on Sunday. We have not seen anything close to a competitive game yet in the second round. Tonight, 13.5-point favorite low. Do you think the Warriors are watching how the rest of the NBA is playing right now and thinking we got to keep pace?
Oh, of course they are. And especially they're watching the way the NBA, the rest of the NBA are playing with dominance. And they're supposed to be the most dominant team. So it definitely gives them reason to come out and play with some vigor and, you know, some piss and vinegar tonight. And it's just interesting because you saw the first round in the Dubs' first game of the first round against a team that was undermanned and undersigned. We had a shootout. And if you see the way that Memphis played, you know, San Antonio, there was a lot of games in the first round that looked way better than the second round. It's not supposed to turn out like this. The second round, you're supposed to get more and more competitive. But unfortunately, it hasn't been.
It's been very one-sided.
Yeah.
I think Boston, the biggest surprise for me, the fact that they had such an easy time in their game one. And we'll see what they do tonight in game two, knowing that you know, just about a week ago, we were talking about maybe it being over and Brad Stevens could be on the chopping block and they should have got Paul George. All of a sudden, you lose Rajon Rondo for Chicago and Boston's starting to roll a little bit.
11 times these two teams have gotten together since Steve Kerr took over the helm of the Golden State Warriors. The Warriors in that stretch, 9-2. 9-2 over those 11 games. One loss coming in the most recent matchup. April 10th of this year is a 105-99 defeat, but nobody was playing on either side of the ball. Both teams were resting their stars, so it's tough to get a read or take a game like that seriously. Key to watch tonight, pace, game flow. The Warriors, fourth in the NBA in pace. We know they love to run an up-tempo style. Utah, dead last, 30th, 93.6 possessions per game. They love to slow it down. They love to muck it up. They love to get into their sets, and they hope that they can force you out of your rhythm by playing their style of basketball. Problem is, the Warriors, you speed them up, you slow them down. They tend to play outstanding hoops in either regard. We saw it on Christmas Day up until the final 7 minutes against Cleveland. Cleveland used to be a team that slowed it down, indicative 2 years ago when they met in the finals. But since then, they've been more of an up-tempo type basketball team. Steph Curry, when asked what he'd be doing during his off days in Utah during this series, had this to say.
It heard it snowed last week, so I might try to go to the slopes, go a little snowboarding. Snowmobiling. You know, hang out in the altitude. I won't be riding a dirt bike. Shout out to Madbone. It's a quick. Thankfully, every game is every other day, so it's kind of a quick trip. Guys are disciplined. They know how to handle themselves, whatever city, obviously.
Too soon, Dibs? Too soon?
Well, I'm sure they're friends, and he gave him a little shout-out, little love. It wasn't like he took a shot. So I don't think it's too soon. It's Steph Curry. He's untouchable.
All right. Damn right. Those two are headed for about a combined $70 million per year, what they'll be making when they get their new deals. Assuming Bumgarner comes back, is healthy, and is able to regain previous form. We got a lot to get to in this hour. Giants, Dodgers, the breakdown's coming up next. First day of May. Saw two guys who had been slumping bring it together in a big, big way. At 6:30, we're going to get back into hoops. And you know what? LeBron James, you can criticize all you want how he handles his regular season business. He is crushing it in the playoffs. And at 6:45, a very disturbing scene at Fenway last night that we'll get into. But up next, like I said, we're going down south. Joe, Lowe, and Dibs, 95.7 The Game.
Now back to Joe, Lowe, and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
High drive. Left field, out of here, and the Giants retake the lead. That's the third career home run for Posey off of Kershaw.
Thank you, NBC Sports Bay Area, for the sound. Last night, a rare, rare night. Not because the Giants won, although that's becoming exceedingly rare. But entering that game last night, with Clayton Kershaw on the mound, Johnny Cueto was listed in Las Vegas at plus 216. Huge underdog is what that means. Every $100 you wager on Cueto, you'll get 216 back. Let me put that in perspective for you. The last time Johnny Cueto was that big of an underdog was August 19th, 2008, his debut season in Chicago against the Cubs. He was plus 260. Johnny Cueto has gone 270 regular season games since being an underdog that big. 270 regular season games went by until last night. And then he goes out and he outduels Kershaw, Dibs. May 1st, the start of something brilliant?
Maybe. And the Giants, you know, as long as their bats can continue to explode like they did last night, a complete volcanic eruption with 8 hits, 2 home runs. And don't look now, but Pence and Posey are back.
What a joke. I'm going to stop you right there. All the headlines.
I was just getting going, Coach. An explosion. Fireworks. An eruption.
I mean, come on. I'm on CSN Bay Area every day. I'm checking what Alex is writing, what Joe's writing. Everybody, right? Love what they do. But when the headline is talking about the Giants and it's the offense is a hurricane, are you kidding me? It was 4 runs. 4 runs. It's not a hurricane. Hunter Pence getting a singular hit is no reason for us to have a discussion in the morning about whether or not he was the player of the night, Anna. But that's where we're at. That's the point we're at after April, is that Hunter Pence, was he player of the night? It was 1 hit.
Stormwatch, Joe. Hurricane. Hurricane Pence.
I mean, nice effort and everything, and it was great to see the fact that he and Buster had home runs last night. They were critical, because last night, Posey and Pence hit 2 home runs in a span of 4 at-bats between the two guys. In the month of April, they had 2 home runs in 159 at-bats.
Wow.
2 home runs and 159 at-bats from 2 of your power sources, but 2 home runs and 4 at-bats last night. So, Lowe, is it the start of something? Do you have that ability in the locker room to look at the calendar and say, okay, April's gone, it's May, we just beat Kershaw, now something's going to get going?
I would absolutely hope so, and I guarantee you all those men in that locker room are hoping and praying that this hurricane is dipped, like to say, that it's getting ready to be a hurricane sensation, and they're getting ready to get this thing rolling. All those players would like that. I think it's possible, Joe, but do I think it's probable? Probably not. It's just when you look at Hunter Pence last year, what, he hit 13 home runs, and Posey last year, 14. So it doesn't seem like the cavalry, the bats are getting ready just to start bombing and crushing and breaking your mama's back.
I mean, Cueto was awesome last night. He's now 4-1 on the season. He went 7 strong, 107 total pitches, 6 hits, 3 runs, a walk, and 6 strikeouts, particularly that series sequence in the second inning. 2 outs, he gives up the hit to Kershaw. Kershaw, of all people, ties the game at 2, has a little pep talk with himself, and then retires 13 straight batters. In that mix was third baseman Justin Turner, whose 16-game hitting streak came to an end last night. So it's the small victories. Turner goes 0-for-4. It's nice to see that hitting streak come to an end.
It is nice, and I like the way Cueto fought through some tough, I won't say tough umpiring, because the umpire had a really consistent zone, but it was pretty small, and Johnny was noticeably frustrated when he gave up that run to Clayton Kershaw to tie it. You could sense that he might be teetering on the brink, but he is so tough and he's so resilient. And that's exactly what this team needs right now, with Jeff Samardzija giving up crooked numbers and Madison Bumgarner not in the rotation. You need Johnny to step up and pitch like an ace, and he did last night in the clutch.
That ump was horrible. I mean, Cueto was throwing, both teams were throwing.
I don't need you setting dibs off this early. He's already setting himself off. I don't need you pouring hot sauce on it.
You know how they square it up and they put the square and show you where the pitch was and all the different things? I was watching. Cueto was throwing strikes.
Wrong.
Coach.
Wrong. See, Mr. You know, President.
Wrong.
Oh, no, I watched it, Joe.
Three times.
Repeatedly. That guy, it was reverse racism. Bro. It was black on black crime. The guy was black. I mean, what are you doing, Coach?
Well, Cueto's Dominican.
Please explain.
Yeah, you got me there. Thanks.
He's had.
You just tore my story.
I wasn't trying to.
I totally killed his vibe right there.
I felt that angle going a little bit off the deep end of the pool. I felt that angle going to the deep end, and I figured, I don't know, what do I do here?
Try to bring it back.
Yeah, try to bring it back. He has a history of this, and he is just mentally, he's so tough. But he's had those moments, and you saw it in the Colorado game two starts ago. And you saw it in the previous start as well, where one pitch doesn't go his way. And you see this with a lot of pitchers. They had the little emphasis on the follow-through of the pitch because they think they have it. And then they don't get the call, and then there's that prolonged process of getting back to the rubber, calming themselves down. Cueto's let that get to him. He's let that get to him in his last two starts. It began with the I mean, he had the grand slam two games ago in Colorado, and then the wheels came off the bus in that inning. Hunter Pence misplayed that ball, and it was an inside-the-park home run, the two-run homer. And it all started with a pitch that he didn't get a couple batters before. Last night, to see that happen, to see Kershaw get him to tie the game, he has the pep talk. You got one of two ways you go there. The wheels come off the bus, or you settle down, you get back into the rhythm. And last night, he got back into that rhythm. He could retire 13 straight batters, was able to help preserve the win. Mark Melancon doesn't make an appearance last night in the ninth inning. He had pitched in four of the previous 5 days, so he's not available. Steven Okert, hell of an effort, 1 2/3. And then Derek Law comes out for the one-out save, striking out Yasiel Puig. All in all, who knows where the rest of the month or season's going to go? That's how you want to start. A win over Kershaw, there's no better way to get that locker room buzzing heading into today.
And a win over L.A. on the road certainly helps just as much. And you're in a position now where you want to win a series. It's five straight series without a series victory. They have two splits and three defeats. You can't worry about getting back in the pennant race. You can't worry about getting back to 500. It's all about winning series. If you just take two out of every three, you're going to find your way back in the race.
Do your job. And that's the bottom line.
Everybody do your job.
Everyone,
I like that.
Right now just needs to focus on doing their job, and that's the way you turn this thing around. You can't say, okay, oh, let's go out and play. No, let us individually go out and do our own jobs. That's what needs to happen.
Couple southpaws set to get after it tonight. It's Alex Wood and Matt Moore, the Dodgers' huge favorites, -165, over under 7.5. Moore's last outing was against the Dodgers. He gave up just one run in seven innings last Thursday, but it was a 5-1 defeat the Orange and Black suffered. Wood took a no-hitter to the sixth against San Francisco last Wednesday. He's got a 3.19 ERA on the season. Should be a nice little battle of the southpaws tonight. Speaking of nice battles that never materialize, Cleveland-Toronto, that was supposed to be something. San Antonio-Houston, that was supposed to be something, but instead, absolute motorboat city. LeBron James, he's got the plan. Whether we like it or not, he's got the plan. That's coming up next. Joe Lowe and Dibs, 95.7 The Game.
Now back to Joe Lowe and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
We've got two tickets to give away to tonight's game. Kalena Azubuike is bringing them into the studio. He's here from 7 to 8, so be listening during that hour, because at some point we're giving away your shot to go to Game 1, the Utah Jazz, Golden State Warriors.
Tonight, Joe, and I'm starting to get really excited for this Game 1. Nothing like an Oracle crowd and being able to see the We Believe reunion. it's going to take me back 10 years ago when I was still kind of an old guy, but very much quiet, Anna. Very much into the joy of the Warriors run. The We Believe was very special. It'll be fun to see all the fellas out there again.
I want to bring that up with Kalena as well. He was a member of that team. We'll let you quarterback it, but we'll spend maybe the 7:30 segment, the 7:45 segment, getting into that with him, kind of reliving some of those moments because it's amazing. That was pretty much the last great Warrior moment prior to the current run. Speaking of runs, this isn't really that exciting of a product to watch. I was bamboozled into thinking Houston-San Antonio was supposed to be competitive. What the hell happened last night? 27-point Houston victory. I could see that if the game was in Houston. See, this is, again, highlighting that problem that we've made fun of over the last few months, even going back to the end of last year. We start every season with this. Well, if there's going to be an obstacle to the Warriors in the Western Conference, who's it going to be? Saint or Kalena or anyone else on earth. And this isn't their fault. We all view the Spurs as that team. We've all said it every year, and every year the Spurs can't even get there. And last night they just got crushed at home by 27 to James Harden and the Rockets. Dibs, in a game that was never even a game to begin with.
No, it wasn't even that close. And it was a classic case of styles make fights, and the guy who was supposed to come out and clutch and grab and counterpunch, he just got assaulted by Houston and their offensive explosion. We kidded about the Giants and the hurricane of offense. That was a hurricane of offense from Houston. Bombing threes, up and down. The pace was too frenetic. You kind of felt for Kawhi because he was the only Spurs player who was able to kind of keep up with that. Patty Mills to an extent as well, but they were just overwhelmed by Houston's pace and their efficiency.
Aldridge was terrible. Aldridge was absolutely terrible in that game. He couldn't get the low post going. He was completely worthless to the San Antonio cause. Low, when you see something like what you saw last night, does that concern you about the next round for the Warriors? Does that make Houston much more intriguing of a foe, so to speak?
You know what, Joe? It's sort of like if you watch that game last night and you saw two different types of teams play. And you could say it's like two different types of horses. You have that Missouri Trox fighter, those big horses you see in the Coors Light commercial where they're big and they're strong and they're used to pulling everything.
Clydesdales?
The little Clydesdale. Then you got those thoroughbreds, the ones that you get in the Kentucky Derby and they can run. And you saw the Kentucky Derby horses going against that Clydesdale, and the Clydesdale got it, tried to sprint with him. You don't do that. The San Antonio Spurs is a team that is ball movement, but it's a team that's older. It's a team that go about it the right way. Slow down, make sure the tempo. Don't get in a pissing contest with a skunk because you can't win. And that's what the kind of style that you saw last night. So I think that this San Antonio team is going to make adjustments. They know they can't run with this team. They know they can't out-sprint them like you alluded to. They're going to have to go back to their style of ball, defend the three-point line. And last night, I don't care who that the Rockets played, they would have motorboated them because of the fact that three ball, that many threes was falling. They didn't get out and defend it. And it was just last night, it was just one of those nights that I just think the Rockets just jumped on them and didn't take their foot off the throw.
There was a sequence last night in that game. I think it was Harden and I want to say Ryan Anderson, and they were screwing around out at the three-point line, and there were two Spurs out there defending him, and they tried to run a little pick and roll, and Harden came off the pick with the ball, and both Spurs moved with him, so he kind of casually went behind the back to Anderson, and Anderson looked like he wanted to shoot the three, but one of the Spurs closed on him, so he kicked it back to Harden. So then they reset, and then they ran the same exact little pick and roll to the other side. And he comes off the screen set by Anderson. Both Spurs move with him. He goes behind the back again to Anderson. Anderson sits there and is like, I guess this time I'll throw it up. He's like 6 feet beyond the arc. He buries it. Houston goes up like 17. And you're sitting there thinking, this is a Greg Popovich coach team. What just happened? Harden made that look like it was some rec league YMCA play early when no one cares to play defense. Like, that's how bad that looked.
Down
and you
30.
Kick it over to the Eastern Conference. Cleveland jumped on Toronto at the beginning of that game. It was never close. They won by 11, but that's nowhere near indicative of how bad that beatdown was. We can sit here all year long and criticize LeBron James for resting, his commentary, the amount of minutes he plays. It doesn't matter. He's 5-0 in the playoffs. Pretty much 5 ass kickings.
Monster. He's an absolute monster, and he needs to be stopped. It just shows you how great players at that level, and flip the switch is probably being too kind, but he at times plays 60%, 70%, and he's still an amazing player. When he decides he wants to go full out for the cause, he's an unstoppable force, and it's got to scare Warrior fans a little bit to see just how dominant and how fresh he looks right now.
His basketball IQ, Joe, to me is amazing. The one play, he's sitting back and he's sagging, playing down the bottom of the court. And he anticipates where this pass will go, not even onto his guy. And he runs and jumps in the lane, throws it to Kyrie, points at the sky like, okay, give it to me off the backboard, and boom, waves in your face. But I think his basketball IQ, I think that's what kind of makes LeBron as well, too.
You mentioned how scary it was, Dibs. It should be scary for the NBA because this is the guy they should be rallying behind. But right now, the NBA is probably having closed-door meetings about a big problem that's surfacing. You saw the 100-plus people fired by ESPN last week. ESPN is going through massive layoffs because they've been ordered by parent company Disney to get the budget in order, stop spending so much money, become more financially viable. So people are getting fired. Well, why do you need to become more financially viable? I thought SportsCenter and ESPN dominated. Not really. Not when you spend $1 billion a year on the NBA and the NBA trots out their B squads on Saturday night matchups because it's back-to-back nights. They've got to get this scheduling issue fixed, and they've got to convince these guys that when they're healthy, they're playing. Because as a result of all those layoffs and that previous TV deal, no one's going to be paying ESPN. No one's going to be paying the NBA $1 billion a year moving forward for their product. Once this TV deal's done, you're going to have a total shift in the opposite direction. And when that happens, salary caps are going to drop. Salaries are going to drop. Right now, everyone's getting paid. Steph's on his way to $40 million a year. Those days, get it while you can, because in, 5 years when that TV deal washes up, money's not going to be around for that anymore. NBA needs to find a way to make the product more viable, because right now, what we saw in the first round, not even worth watching, in my opinion.
Well, so far, they haven't been very compelling games, to say the least, and it makes you think that maybe if they would have reshuffled the seeds and allowed Eastern and Western Conference teams to play each other, you might have different matchups that were more compelling. You look at the East, and as well as Boston's playing, they have no chance to beat Cleveland if LeBron is motivated and playing like he's playing. So the Eastern Conference isn't that compelling at all. I would be one to caution you about writing off San Antonio just yet. It was a bad, bad day for Popovich and the Spurs yesterday, but he knows better than anybody. It's just one game. You come back in game two, reassert yourself from a pace and defensive standpoint, you can get back in that series.
How do you think that series ends? Who and in how many games?
I initially had it Spurs in either 6 or 7. I'll have to check my notes. But now, I mean, Houston firmly as the favorite. I think Houston wins it now in 6.
Houston in 6? What would you think, Lo?
I think this is going to go 7. Yeah, you just look at the way that they played last night. Houston's not afraid, and San Antonio understands that. But I think that Kawhi Leonard is going to get these men to play. They're going to have to play better defense. They're going to have to guard the three-point line a lot better. Can't give guys wide-open shots. The play you alluded to, hard and back and forth, and no one's even there to contest. They're going to have to stay with their man and play better man defense. I think that this is going to still be San Antonio series.
Absolutely despicable actions in Boston last night. We'll have the latest on that next. Joe Lo and Dibs, 95.7 The Game.
Now, back to Joe, Lo, and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
Welcome back. You're going to want to be paying particular attention to today's show between 7 and 8 p.m. Yes, Kalena Azubuike is coming in. He is the man. We're looking forward to talking with him about tonight's game as well as everything else happening in the NBA. But he's also got 2 tickets to give away to tonight's game, Dibs. So, Kalena's going to be giving away 2 tickets. Game 1, Jazz, Warriors, 7:30 p.m. tip time. 95.7 The Game at 7:30.
So stay tuned between 7 and 8 this morning. Kalena coming in, and we're giving away Warrior tickets. Game 1 tickets to tonight's Warrior game, the We Believe reunion night, Joe.
Oh, I can't wait to talk to him about that as well. All right. Last night in Boston, the Orioles defeated the Red Sox 5-2. This was a much ballyhooed game for several reasons. Hyped up initially because of what happened when these two got together last week. Manny Machado with the aggressive slide in the second base. It takes former MVP Dustin Pedroia out of the game. The next night, Machado's at the dish. Who was the pitcher again in that situation? Matt Barnes? That's right. I always think I'm being tricked because we have a Barnes here. But all right, Matt Barnes throws behind Machado's head. He gets ejected, and he picks up a four-game suspension. And you knew the next time they got together there would be issues, but we didn't know to this extent. Orioles center fielder Adam Jones says that last night he was subjected to a torrent of N-words and other racist taunts at Fenway Park during the game, to the point where a disrespectful fan even threw a bag of peanuts at him. Jones is one of just 62 African-American players who were on opening day rosters around Major League Baseball this season. 30 teams, only 62 African-American ball players on opening day rosters. He had heard that there were 59 or 60 ejections last night at Fenway. It was a ugly incident. And this morning, just a few moments ago, the Red Sox released a statement. Quote, this is from Red Sox president Sam Kennedy. The Red Sox want to publicly apologize to Adam Jones and the entire Orioles organization for what occurred at Fenway Park Monday night. No player should have an object thrown at him on the playing field, nor be subjected to any kind of racism at Fenway Park. The Red Sox have zero tolerance for such inexcusable behavior, and our entire organization and our fans are sickened by the conduct of an ignorant few. Such conduct should be reported immediately to Red Sox security, and any spectator behaving in this manner forfeits his or her right to remain in the ballpark and may be subject to further action. Our review of last night's events is ongoing. Jones even went so far as to say after the game that people who are creating this type of behavior, causing this type of trouble, should be banned for life from the stadium and hit with a $10,000, $20,000, or $30,000 fine. If they can't pay it immediately, their checks should be garnished. He feels that that would serve as enough of a deterrent. Dibs, number one, how big of a problem was this last night? I mean, this is just an ugly, ugly mark for baseball. But number two, is there any way to ever solve something like this?
I think there is a way, Joe. And first, to your first point, it's a massive problem. It's embarrassing as a nation that we still have this going on where an African-American athlete is being taunted with racial epithets. I would like to think that we're at a point in our society where we can just respect each other for who we are and not judge each other in that manner. But obviously, our society is not yet to that point. My solution is when you have these people who are ejected from the game or somebody who's heard hurling racial epithets at a player and they get ejected, put out that list. Put on a list of the names of people who were ejected from the ball game. Give me the list of people who are no longer allowed to go to Fenway Park. If these people are put on public blast, then there'll be a deterrent. You don't want to be put out there in the Boston Globe with your name tied to being an overt racist. All of a sudden, maybe your girlfriend breaks up with you. You lose your job. Your neighbors don't want to hang out with you. I think a societal deterrent such as this would be very, very telling.
Well, not just that. Send a memo to their job and say, just want you to know, you're one of the person that's worked that you're in as a, in place of employment, use these racial slurs at a game, and just want you to know, please take the appropriate actions because it's not tolerable. The thing about it to me, Joe, it's like, I get it. It's ignorance, and I get a lot of things, and I just think that when you go to a Macy's for a sporting event of that nature. Baseball, ballpark, usually it's your kids and its families there as well. So when you say, can this change and we're at a nation, Dibs, where we post, yeah, it sounds good. But when it's kids there that with their parents and that's the kind of behavior, it's not the kids' fault. It's adults' fault. So now on these kids, all you do is you say, okay, when is this going to change? Well, it becomes tolerant for the kid, your child, because the parents have an influence on their children. So it's tough. And it's no place for it. I get it. But I just think that when you see some of these things that happen, and then when we talk about certain issues that are going around, and then when you see the ball players do it, it's not acceptable. But you hear all these other things that go on in stadiums, and you hear people using those type of words and those type of racial slurs. What's going to happen? Nothing. You want to say, okay, you publicly apologize. I get it. But until people can look at themselves and say, I want to make this a better place and I'm going to restrain for using these type of, language and using these things that are racist, then you're going to continue to always have these problems.
Have you ever been subject to anything like that?
Not, you know what? Probably not on the sport. I've been in Philly where, you know, I've heard it very rarely, but not to that magnitude. You know, shoot, I've heard guys, you know, say black or, you know, something, you know, yell at you in that matter or just kind of be stupid because fans do that.
Right.
So you've heard that. I mean, I've seen guys get, you know, people spitting and throwing beer on them and different athletes on the field. I mean, Raiders, we've seen it when LT scored. Guys are throwing stuff at him, Snicker bars when he scored the end zone. They got tired of him. So you see things like that. And, yeah. People get drunk and start saying things, but a lot of times it's what's in the heart manifests when people start drinking
You
get to see their true colors.
Have you ever heard, been subject to racial taunting, though? Outside of the, like, most stadiums, you're going to have idiots who just want to create a hostile environment regardless.
Right.
But has it ever been taken to that next level, at least if you've seen, whether it be college or pro, whether you were the subject of it or someone else was?
No, you know what? I've heard guys tell me that it has been, and I played, man, you heard that dude what he said? I said, no, I didn't hear. But it's not, I mean, it's not a lot. It's not, but I'm shocked that many people were saying that to him. It's just, it saddens me. It hurts my heart to know that so many people still can be so despicable and use those type of, you know, that type of language for what? For who? You're not a part of the solution. You're part of a problem.
You make a great point that when alcohol is involved, it's going to make the situation much worse. And sometimes the truth comes out. What's that famous Latin phrase? In vino veritas.
Yeah.
There's truth in wine. That's what you hear in what is it? Doc Holliday, Val Kilmer says it when he's playing cards at the OK Corral whatever the hell that thing is. Tombstone.
And it's different, Joe. It's different. And I think about it, I'm tolerant because I've been in locker rooms where the white and black, they use it because they hear it in music. So it's like, okay, but it's a different saying. People are saying it, oh, that's my dog, whatever. You hear white guys say it, but it's in a different setting. But when you're saying it the way that it was being said in that setting, in that environment, you know where the heart is.
I think part of it, alcohol, absolutely. I think another part of it is this was no ordinary series. Coming into this game last night, this game was overly hyped because of what happened the last time these two teams got together, and that was the incident with Machado getting thrown behind him. ESPN immediately made a switch for last night's primetime game, went with this one. Do you think that can play into it as well? Because the fans can take on that aggression that comes with a rivalry game. Any Raider fan knows right now, walking to the Coliseum off BART when Denver's in town versus when the Jets are in town are two very different situations. You feel that. You feel the importance, the gravity of that situation more. Do you think you take something like that, you combine it with alcohol, and you're pretty much just getting ready to set off a Molotov cocktail there, Dibs?
A little bit, but that doesn't mean that it has to get racial. Because
sure.
If you go to a Raider game and the Broncos are in town, and a Bronco fan who happens to be a black guy comes by in his Bronco gear, you're not going to start yelling out the N-word at him. Raider fans would come over and jump you. You would be beaten down by your own people, quote-unquote, for taking it to that level. It's a cultural thing out here where we live around so many people of so many other colors, creeds, and cultures that we don't have to lapse into that. Back east in Boston, obviously a different situation, and it's just a shame that when you have this and alcohol gets thrown in, people take it to that level. I don't think you can blame, quote unquote, the media for certainly hyping it up because it is a big game. And the players were obviously charged up about it.
You got to hype it up. It's for ratings. It's for money. It's for revenue. You see what's happening in the NBA.
And there's
right
162
now.
Of these. So if you have a matchup that maybe has a little extra oomph to it, you absolutely want to talk about it. But it doesn't mean you got to break out the N-word.
I mean, you've seen it. I mean, Patriots, you know, Ray Lewis and those guys, they beat the Patriots. And Wes Walker's girl talked, you know, Ray Lewis, a monkey, all those different things, a monkey, and gave him the banana. And it was a big deal. They had to publicly apologize. You remember that?
Vaguely. But it's not triggering something right now.
Yeah, so, yeah.
Do you know what he's talking about?
It was one of Wes, I think Wes Walker's girlfriend. It was a bigger deal that it came out that it was one of those receivers guys and did something about Ray, and they had the picture, and it was on social networking and so social media. But it's happened, man. Trust me, my grandparents, they came from Oklahoma. I remember the little boy and Melvin Hinch, my neighbors, and I don't know if they're racist, but they're neighbors, and things like that happen. People are like, oh, you don't know racism, you don't see it. Yeah, you do. And our grandma would say, don't let him call you that. And grandma, she'd say, and they made even songs about it. Joe would say, white Patty, you don't shine. You call me, I'll beat you behind. I mean, it's – so I'm just telling you, people think that it doesn't happen. It's not true. I've seen it. I've lived it. You know, I accept certain – you don't condone certain things, but you understand it. I mean, I married a person of, you know, that her mom's white and different things, and her dad and her mom and dad, he's black, she's white, and they experience certain things. And people think that it still hasn't evolved. It's all better. No, it's gotten better, but there are still parents and different people out there that still teach, you know, and they don't know subconsciously they teach that, but they're doing it. And you hear, and especially when you're at a ballpark and that happens, other kids and family members are around. And so that type of behavior becomes tolerable.
Sadly, baseball is supposed to be a sanctuary for families. That's what it's supposed to be, the ultimate family sport to get out and relax. This is the last thing you want to deal with in a situation like that. Thank you for the insights. Very well done, both of you, on your behalf. Very well done. Klen Azubuike in studio next. He's got two tickets to give away to tonight's game against the Utah Jazz. We got an hour of Warriors coverage coming up next. We're back in a minute. Don't go anywhere. Joe Lo and Dibs, 95.7 The Game.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.